I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, and you are listening to Boston Public Radio. Well, Thanksgiving is officially over, and I mean over, like even the last of the leftovers are gone over. And so, like it or not, that means that the holiday season is upon us, a season for giving, a season for shopping, a season for good cheer. But you could also make an argument it is a season for live music. There are tons of concerts that come around in the holiday season. And so to help us wade through the bevy of options over the next month plus, we're going to convene another edition of our Boston Public Radio official concert roundtable. For all of you musical omnivores out there, we've got expert tastemakers with us here representing the classical side of things, Mr. Brian McCreath, host and producer for Classical New England. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, I'm okay.
All right, and bringing his particularly jazzy take to the table is Mr. Rob Hayes from Berklee College of Music.
Good to be here, Edgar.
Thanks. Happy to have you. And we've also got a pop, rock, folk, country, hip-hop generalist making her Boston Public Radio debut, Miss Sarah Rodman from the Boston Globe.
And in this corner.
Yes.
It's nice to be here.
Of course, there
Thank
are no
you.
Corners in a round table, actually. So I don't know about that. So anyway, guys, this is great. A big time of year for concerts. And I'm curious, is this something that you guys are excited about, or is it just overwhelming? Like, as music lovers, as concert goers, is it too much? Brian?
You know, to me, in classical music, there's this thing that in a way it is too much. But It's a great combination of these things that we love and we return to every year. I mean, classical is a lot about tradition, and part of the attraction of classical is that you do know this piece, but now we're going to hear it in the moment. You know, it's not a piece of art that you go to see at some point and take your time. It's like you have to hear this in the moment. But then there are also ways that the holidays bring out things that are completely unexpected. So in some ways it's overwhelming, but on the other hand, you know, the music is so great that it's hard to get too down about there being so much, right?
Yeah, it's true. So and I think you're right. In classical, there's those rituals, sort of like, you know, the Nutcracker happens every year, and there's music that goes with that. And the BSO is going to do their thing. The holiday pops are going to do their thing.
That's right.
So there's that sameness. But I think I don't know, in the sort of pop realm, rock realm, and the jazz realm, maybe not as much the same every year.
Well, there are more atheists.
Lots of stuff. Yeah. That's right. Very well
more
done.
More secular holiday performance.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's
right.
Said, yeah.
But still a lot of them. So let's walk through. You guys have each picked a couple of favorites. I should say we're going to have all of your picks, including some that we won't even get to on the air here on our website. That's wgbhnews.org/BPR. The BPR stands for Boston Public Radio. Sarah, since you're new to us, why don't we kick off with you? Why don't you get us started and tell us about something that's coming up over the next couple of weeks that you are particularly excited about?
Okay, so one of the things that I'm very excited about is a country artist named Jamie Johnson.
Okay.
He's playing at Royale on December 19th, which I believe is a Wednesday, and he's from Alabama.
Okay.
And he's been around for about 5 or 6 years now. He started out as a singer-songwriter, a songwriter. He actually wrote the song Honky Tonk Badonka Donk, which I know you're all familiar with.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Say that again.
Who doesn't love that one?
Everybody loves Honky Tonk Badonka Donk, which he wrote for someone else. But he has emerged as this really great new traditionalist. He's very much in the Willie Waylon, Merle mode. And he has a new album out that's actually a tribute to Hank Cochran, one of the best country music songwriters of all time.
Yeah.
And all of those guys are on it, Willie, Merle, Vince Gill. He's just become very well respected in a very short period of time.
Cool.
Good stuff.
I think we got a cut here from his newest record. This is a tune called Living for a Song. And is this him and Willie Nelson, I think, singing?
And Merle Haggard.
Oh, and Merle Haggard. There it is. Let's hear a little bit of this.
I have slept on satin sheets, dined with kings on wine so sweet, made my bed out in the street, living for a song. I spent a lifetime.
So nice you hear that traditionalist thing there for sure. Good voice.
Yeah, really great sad baritone, like classic country voice. And that's actually a classic Hank Cochran song that's about, you know, writing music and being on the road. And so
Cool. Royale's a pretty new venue.
Well, Royale
is a redone venue.
Exactly. It's probably almost 2 years old at this point, but it's what the Roxy used to be.
Yeah.
But they did renovate it, and it is much nicer than it used to be.
All right, there you heard it there. What do you guys think of that cut?
I get chills. I buy that guy's record now.
Yeah. That's Rob Hayes says he's going to buy that record now. How about you, Brian?
Well, I'm just curious because I mean, in some ways, country is the vernacular of our country now.
And increasingly,
right?
Too,
like all,
right?
All like, across the country. But I'm always still a little bit, like, I always want to know, like, what is the strength of the country audience in this part of the country? Is it a really strong, vibrant audience?
It's shockingly strong. I actually wrote a story about it for the newspaper recently that, you know, for many years people thought of the Northeast as a very soft market for country, even though there were always fans here.
Yeah.
But as country has become more pop in the last few years, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the music itself changing from something this traditional sounding to something like Taylor Swift, which is essentially pop music.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now all our stadium headliners are Kenny Chesney and Taylor Swift and Jason Aldean. They're these, you know, contemporary country people. It's a huge market. But it's also the number one format in the nation.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. But no, I love that sound we heard. I mean, just this very pure sound.
I
mean, you know, I mean, I grew up in Texas, and
that's right.
And they're, you know, the singer songwriters like Lyle Lovett. I mean, when they do their pure thing, it's so heart touching. I mean, I love it. So that's great.
That's
pick.
An old production sound too. I mean, there's a deep reverb to it that sounds like the RCA Studio 2 down in Nashville. It's very cool.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Brian McCreath. We're just talking about country music, which is sort of the music of the people. And there was a time when what we think of as very old classical music was also the music of the day, music of the people. It was hundreds of years ago, Brian. I'm sorry to tell you. But make us love it now.
It's still the music of the people, really. Okay, so what I have to do, I'm going to do a little two for one here. Because this weekend we have the two pillars of classical music for the season.
And, is he allowed to do that?
We'll let him.
I'm
going to
just
we'll
do it. I'm rolling through here. I don't care about the rule book. But in the sort of shorthand, Messiah is our Christmas music in this country, and there's basic reasons for that. One is that it's in English. As it turns out, some people would say it's not so appropriate for the season because it actually tells the whole story of Jesus' life all the way through the resurrection. And so, wait a minute, what are we talking about?
Yeah, Christmas is just the beginning.
Come on, please, folks.
So Jesus is the reason for the season, right? So why not tell the whole story?
But in Europe, it's not so much Messiah as it is Christmas Oratorio, which is a massive set of pieces, really, by Bach. So we have Handel that people gravitate towards in this country, and we have Bach in Europe as Christmas Oratorio that is the thing people do. It's the ritual. It's where you go with the visiting relatives to see your local performance. And then Messiah, there's just tons of performances everywhere. Christmas Oratorio, a little bit more rare because it is a more European tradition, but we're extremely lucky in this music-rich environment to have the Handel and Haydn Society doing Messiah with Harry Christopher's, always vibrant, always exciting.
Yearly thing.
Unbelievably stellar cast, though, this year. This is a special year. This is a really special year because of the particular soloists that are singing. But then we have Emmanuel Music doing Christmas Oratorio. Emmanuel Music, one of the historic Bach ensembles in the whole country. And their founder, Craig Smith, passed away a few years ago, but Ryan Turner has taken over that ensemble and organization and kept that vibrancy. So it's a great chance to hear Christmas Oratorio coming up, both of them this weekend. So why not go in the deep end? Okay, why not just do them both?
Go full classical.
That equal? Something like 6 or 7 hours of Baroque wonderful goodness for the season.
How can you not do it? Let's hear a little bit.
Yeah, so this is the very last section of the 3 hours of Christmas Oratorio.
So if you can put in all 7 hours, this is what your reward will
get.
Be at the very end. That sounds rewarding.
You gotta hear what happens next.
All right, we gotta hear what happens next. Everybody, get ready. There it is.
That's right.
Nice. The swell of the human voice.
That's right. It's the Lutheran chorale, which is at the heart of Bach's music, but really, I'm going to go out on a limb here with you guys and say it's at the heart of Western music.
Wow.
The
staking
Lutheran
claim.
Chorale, I'm staking that
it all
claim
goes back
into
to the
ground.
Lutheran chorale.
And
the
this
Lutherans.
Music is so built on that chorale language and that harmony and this community feeling in Christmas Oratorio that is absolutely, that was an Emmanuel Music performance actually from about 10 years ago. And it's that feeling of warmth but excitement that comes through in these performances. I recommend both. Messiah and Christmas Oratorio.
There it is. It's Brian McCreath from our sister station, Classical New England. We've also got Sarah Rodman from the Boston Globe and Rob Hayes from the Berklee College of Music with us. We are in our Concert Roundtable Holiday Edition. Rob, what do you got for us?
Man, I think we've got a new tradition here in town. It's a redemption story. It's not a Christmas story. Faust, it's a classic.
Mm.
Oh, man. A 1926 film, Faust by F.W. Murnau, being shown at the Coolidge Corner Theater December 17th. That's a Monday, accompanied by the Berkeley Silent Film Orchestra.
So what is that? What is the Berkeley Silent Film Orchestra?
It is a class. It's a course through an entire semester. The best film scoring students in the college are chosen, each to write a reel of a classic silent film, and then it's composed, produced, and performed live with the composers conducting in front of the screen, live to picture.
Very cool.
At the Coolidge. It is amazing.
This is very cool. And we have a preview of some of the music that we're going to hear right now. So let's hear a little bit of this. This is a preview of what you're going to get December 17th at the Coolidge, Berkeley Silent Film Orchestra.
So what are we hearing here, Rob?
Well, the first thing you have to know is that's not Faust.
Well, I was about to say, it seems like pre-Deal with the Devil
I
music.
Don't. Faust is not done yet.
I see.
Yeah.
This is an example of
this is the music
what
from Battleship Potemkin,
oh, nice.
Which we took to the Kennedy Center in the spring.
Another huge piece of
film
history.
Yeah, you can imagine the big naval vessels and the soldiers waving and the people have triumphed, and there's a red flag. It's you know, people cry. It's cool. It's
so
great.
This is the kind of work that we get from them. So Berkeley Silent Film Orchestra playing Faust.
Angels, devils, hallucinations. It's amazing.
What's not to love?
Yeah. It's Christmas in a nutshell.
Happy holidays.
Well done. Excellent. All right, we are in our concert roundtable here on Boston Public Radio, Holiday Edition. I'm going to turn it back over here to Sarah Rodman from the Boston Globe. What else do you have for us?
Okay, another show I'm very excited about on two levels is the David Wax Museum, because they are playing at a new venue in Cambridge called the Sinclair that has yet to open.
We've been waiting on bated breath to open, right?
I know. It's been delayed, and so hopefully this will be one of the first shows that's actually happening there. Check the SinclairCambridge.com website just in case. But it's supposed to be Saturday night, and this is just a terrific duo. They do Americana and Mexican folk music. It's just this great mashup of roots music. But they're the kind of band that you have to go see live, because they are just insanely lively and vibrant, and they run through the crowd, and Sue Cizak plays this donkey jawbone that is just has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah, so we had a performance with them in our Fraser studio a few weeks ago, which you can see on our website as well, wgbhnews.org/BPR. You can check that out. And also, I should say, all the picks from these experts that we have here in the roundtable will be on that website as well. Let's hear a little bit of them, because you're right. These guys are off the charts. So yeah, you hear that sort of Mexican influence there for sure on that one.
Because David Wax spent some time in Veracruz on a fellowship, and I also just love that he's a Harvard man and she's a Wellesley woman, and they met up over
this sort of great folk music
scene.
It's How many people in the band?
Well, there's two core members, David Wax and Sue Slezak, and then they have other people who sort of augment them depending on where they play, but they're the core members of the band. And it's called a quijada, I believe, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the donkey jawbone that she plays.
That's right.
It's it's like a whole teeth and everything.
Brian, you spent some time in Mexico when you were a player, right?
Yeah, that's right. I played in an orchestra in Mexico for a couple of years.
What do you think of this?
I'm loving this, and I'm trying to trace back the roots of some of these sounds I'm hearing. hearing because it's so updated.
Did it take
it's
you
so
a Lutheran chorale? Is that where you
traced
it back
to? Yeah, I'm thinking about a Lutheran chorale.
Good luck. Yeah, right.
Well, there's a harmony through line.
No, but I'm loving the sort of very now quality of the music.
Yeah, it's very
contemporary. But you can hear the roots in it. And it's very much like what you were just talking about, Rob, how, you know, these ancient films that have this different sort of relevance to us, different kind of resonance in our day when you apply these young composers of today. I just like how the old is being brought to us in this new right now kind of language. You know?
It's not just trapped in amber.
That's
sound.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
It's meshing with what is contemporary, which is the key to pushing forward.
It's sort of a good, perfect for the holiday season, which is kind of about rebirth in a way, right? The promise of something new.
Oh, yeah,
right. From
right.
something traditional. Maybe stretching it there.
We'll keep going.
All right, so we're running short on time. So let's. I want to get into some more music and some more picks. So, Brian, you got another one for us?
Yeah.
On classical
side? Let's do something that's not new at all.
Classical and old?
I know. Can you believe it? Seriously, when you've had enough of Nutcracker and you've had enough of Messiah,
which are great,
even Christmas Oratorio, you need a little bit of refresher. Maybe you've just had enough of your relatives. Maybe you just need to chill out and just, come on, folks, quiet down the season. And that's where Blue Heron comes in. Blue Heron is a vocal ensemble that has really risen to a national stature from here in Boston. Scott Metcalf has been directing the group for many, many years. Great, great scholar who gets in and finds these gems from the Renaissance and before that we hadn't heard from before. And so they have holiday concerts every year, this time focusing on 15th century France and Burgundy. And so let's just take a quick listen, if you might, Edgar, just to sort of get that sound in our ears.
All right, let's hear a little.
And what's great about this is that it, too, takes old material and makes it new, because this is all Gregorian chant-based.
Yeah.
And then this fellow Antoine Brumel from Burgundy, took the old of his time in the 15th century, updated it for his time, and when you really dig into what these guys are singing, what particular lines and which voices they're in, you hear this weaving of the past and the present together. Mm. And also, like I said, it's just such a resonant, beautiful, peaceful sound that I think it's a nice break for the season. Blue Heron on the 21st and 22nd in Cambridge.
Good pick.
It's beautiful.
Very nice.
Yeah, everybody here
An
giving
embrace.
It the thumbs up, it looks
Absolutely.
Like. Yeah, very nice. Rob.
New Year's Eve. First
yes.
night
what,
Boston.
What could possibly be happening New Year's Eve that a guy from the Berklee College of Music wants to talk about? This is a big deal, though.
Yeah,
it is huge.
Ninth year in a row, we've done Toast of the Nation, NPR's worldwide broadcast, and this year it will be John Scofield and his Uber Jam band.
Yes, Uber Jam with the umlaut.
I saw these guys about 5 years ago in Monterey, and you don't see people up and dancing at the Monterey Jazz Festival very often.
Yeah.
People are on their chairs. This is about as funky as you're going to get. It's going to be funky. It's going to be loud. It's going to be amazing.
Very
so
nice.
That's 9 o'clock p.m. 9 p.m. on New Year's Eve at the Berklee Performance Center.
And if you can't make it out, it'll be aired here on 89.7, I believe. Toast of the Nation NPR broadcast will be our
GBH.org, NPRmusic.org, Armed Forces Radio, NPR One satellite.
Everywhere. embedded in your ear.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little because it's so funky.
Scofield.
A little Scofield for us, if we could.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think I can picture the people dancing on chairs.
That's right.
I think that works. Are you allowed to dance on chairs at the Berklee Performance Center?
Oh, yeah, that night. I'm giving everybody a dispensation.
So,
yeah.
On the chairs if
here.
You want. All right, so yeah, you're allowed.
See, that's nice and funky on the radio, but man, hearing that live when they've got that system pumping it out is going to be
We
stellar.
Get a good system in there, too.
Do you really?
Do we know who the drummer is on this?
Yeah, Luis Cato.
Really?
To what we're listening to? No, that's I don't remember at the moment.
But that'll be the drummer.
Yeah, the
Lewis is the drummer on New Year's Eve, yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Okay, guys, we're just about out of time, so maybe no more music cuts, but maybe give you each one more crack at a concert you're excited about.
Sure. The Roots, the day after Christmas.
Nice.
Sick of family, go get
Speaking
your funk
of funky.
On.
Funky.
Yeah.
At the House of Blues on December 26th. Jimmy Fallon's house band, gonna tear it up.
Yes.
Philly guys. I'm Pennsylvania native. So
absolutely. Good stuff.
Give it up for Philly there.
Sweet. Non-holiday music in the classical realm. Discovery Ensemble this weekend. Discovery Ensemble, one of the most exciting classical groups in town right now. Courtney Lewis leading small chamber orchestra and music by Esa-Pekka Salonen. Five images after Sappho, which Salonen describes this way. Sappho reveals to us secrets of the female soul like nobody else. There is no subject more interesting. Date night.
Skipping way past New Year's Eve, January 12th, at the National Heritage Museum in Lexington, Gibson Brothers, one of the great bluegrass bands playing today, IBMA Entertainers of the Year. These guys go deep. Minnesota Joe Walsh and the Mandolin. It will be a fantastic show.
Cool. And right now, what's the date? January?
January 17th.
Sweet.
No, sorry, it's the 12th. January 12th.
Nice. And we're hearing right now a band called Foxygen, which is something I'm really excited about. They're playing with Of Montreal on December 12th at the Paradise. These guys are really cool. They have a new record coming out in January. Check it out, Foxygen. That's what we're listening to right here. This is a new track called Shuggy. All right, that's going to do it for our concert roundtable. Nice. Thanks to all of you for being with me. Brian McCreath from Classical New England, Rob Hayes from Berklee College of Music, Sarah Rodman from the Boston Globe.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great job, you guys. All right, and that's going to do it for us today on Boston Public Radio. We've come to the end, but stay with us. We've got great programming coming up next, and we'll, of course, be back tomorrow with our week in review. We're going to go under the radar with local news, all the good stuff. For Kara Miller and for Emily Rooney, I am Edgar B. Herwick III. Have a great afternoon.